Congressman, how are you?
Tony, I am doing exceptionally well. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well. Where are you this morning?
We are in Washington, D.C., trying to finish up the work here before the end of the year. We'll get it all done. And
well, good luck with that, because
yeah,
there's a lot
I'm
on
it. I guess I wouldn't be in this business if I weren't.
Well, there's a lot on your plate, so let's dive right into it. First of all, where are we when it comes to keeping the government going until we can figure this budget thing out?
Well, I think we're going to send to the Senate a they call it an omnibus spending bill, which kind of is the way to keep the budget and keep the government going on Friday. So we think that one way or another, we're going to have resolution on that on Friday. So I don't see the big throwdown unless the Senate doesn't take something up. The House just passed the tax extenders. UI unemployment extension and all of that in Senate to the Senate. So we're a little bit is now waiting for the Senate to do something, and they have not been all that productive this year. So we're hoping they'll do something, keep this thing going.
Now, there have been some serious challenges when it comes to trying to get this debt situation taken care of and paid down. I got to tell you, Congressman, we've been talking about this a lot. We've been talking with economists and folks who are expert in finance, and the thing that keeps coming back to us is 2 points. Number one, Freddie and Fannie are killing us, and also that the banking industry, although the president claims to have the rules and regulations in place to make that a playing field, that there's still challenges there.
Well, you know, sometimes it's careful what you wish for. With the Frank Dodd bill that was passed in last session, the amount of regulations has put uncertainty into the regulators. So the goal was, you know, try to make sure they didn't go red hot or white hot, I guess they say, like they did before, and cause huge problems in the economy. But you also have to give loans to small businesses and folks like that who have to keep their doors going, are open, and keep their businesses going. And that part's getting screwed up. Just one company, USAA, which is an insurance company that's owned by the people that participate in it. It's for former military people. Just the regulatory cost for them per year. Now, they didn't have anything to do with Wall Street at all. Is 1 million man-hours a year. Man-hours a year. So that means rates are going up. So what they've done is they have, they're basically function a lot like a credit union, are going to have to pull back in giving loans for cars and other things. They just can't do as much as they might otherwise do. And so it's all working against each other here. And that's why you and I have talked before about, if you want the economy to get back on its feet, you have to allow businesses some degree of certainty. So now the cost of borrowing money has gone up for them. The other regulatory burdens, energy costs, everything has gone up on them. And then there's this big unknown about what all these new regulatory costs are going to make them pay out before they can even open up their doors, turn on the lights, and hire one employee. So if we don't get rid of all of that uncertainty, this economy is going to bump along the bottom for a very long time.
I want to talk with you about, I know you've been working on seeing what we can do to protect the country with cyber threats. Tell me where we are with some legislation that you're working on. I know you've accused before on this program the Chinese government of launching a cyber war, if you will.
Yeah, and stand by that, and would argue they've even gotten worse. And a lot of Americans, you know, they're when we think about cyber, we think about cyber crime. Somebody stealing our identity or getting our passes, our access passes, those kinds of things, and using it to make some quick money and ruin our credit and our name ID. And that, unfortunately, is still very real out there in the cyber world. But now you have something that's never been done by a nation before, and it's the Chinese, primarily the Russians, the Iranians now are getting into the game, where they're purposely using state resources to steal intellectual property and then take that back to their home countries. China is the best at this, and then recreate it, make it a product, and start to artificially compete against that company. And remember, it takes millions, sometimes billions of dollars in research and development to get a product where it can get on the market and be ready for sale. Well, they don't have any of that cost. They've stolen all of that. So it is a huge, huge problem. So I passed the first cyber bill that's been out on the House floor anywhere in Congress that just provides the National Security Agency to share classified information under certain circumstances with companies to protect our networks. So it wouldn't in fact impact anything you do at your home computer, but your provider, your internet provider, would get what I call the secret sauce, so that they can protect you, any information getting to your home computer. It's the first step. It's bipartisan. Came out of my committee 17-1. The Intelligence Committee has huge industry support, very much of a bipartisan bill. So I'm looking forward in January to getting that moving, so at least we have a fighting chance against the Chinese, the Russians, the Iranians, and others.
There are people who are concerned about our military. Not only are we looking to cut their budget, a lot of the infrastructure, a lot of the equipment that they have is old and outdated. You've got China building an aircraft carrier now. We're getting out of Iraq before the job is really done. Are you concerned about how our military is being led by President Obama?
Well, I've agreed with President Obama on some things, and I have strongly disagreed. And this is where I've strongly disagreed with the way they did the drawdown. They went from some 30,000 or 40,000 troops to zero, and the general said, "Don't do it to us this fast. We may lose control of ground that we have gained as far as security posture." And not because we were involved in combat operations, by the way. We have not been in combat operations for some time now. But we were a center of influence for good things to happen there. That was kind of a problem. The way we're drawing down right in the middle of the fighting season next year in Afghanistan with blatant disregard for what the conditions on the ground are, we're going to use all our command military energy figuring out how to draw down versus how to beat the Taliban. I thought that was just a colossal mistake, and so do our general officers, by the way, and our military planners think this is really a difficult spot for them to put in. And with all these cuts looming in the military, we're not going to be ready. And the one thing that keeps us safe around the world and allows people to buy our goods, and which is another good thing, is the fact that we have the strongest military in the world. You can't fall back down to second place and expect the same kind of results in negotiation and diplomatic efforts. And I think that is something that can hurt us 2, 3, 5, 10 years from now in ways that would be very difficult to make up.